Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Brad Powers, college football handicapper, will join us to break down what is an awesome weekend in college football. A lot of great matchups, all of the rivalry games, some interesting games, playoff implications galore here. And we'll see if we can get a little chaos here. I'll give you my picks coming up here in a minute, NFL and college, but excited for the weekend. Just such a great sports time of the year. And we'll start here with a recap of what was an incredible day Thursday in the NFL. The night game was not as great just in terms of coming down to the wire and being competitive like the other ones were. But when you have the underdog winning and you have that much of a, let's say, stunning result, but pretty close to a stunning result, 7-point dog winning by two touchdowns plus, pretty surprising how that game played out. And it really turns the NFL playoff picture kind of on its head here, and it makes for a fascinating playoff picture with the AFC and how wide open it is. The Chiefs on the brink here of, basically with them losing, of needing to run the table, win out, and then have to win four playoff games. That's going to be very hard to do. But the Ravens look like they're not going to be a factor with how ineffective Lamar is. And all the underdogs winning on Thursday. And just think about it, just a few weeks ago, if you would ask somebody, who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? You would have gotten a lot of Lions versus Chiefs. People still might say the Chiefs. At least last week they would have, and people still might say it just because it's Mahomes. Both are now basically a coin flip to miss the playoffs, make the playoffs, however you want to look at it. And just a crazy day in the NFL with all three underdogs winning. I think if you parlayed the three underdogs on the money line, paid around 22-1. So just a fun day, a fascinating day. I'll start with the night game. I don't know if Cincy can win the division now, but they are back in the mix. They are only at 12-1 here at FanDuel, and they were, 70-80-1, just ridiculous numbers. They are still 4-8, and they do have to go to Buffalo this coming week. But with Lamar looking banged up, it's possible that 8, maybe 9 wins this division. Nobody really believes in Pittsburgh. They have to play Buffalo this week. They have not played great as of late, and that's not more than, an 8 or 9 win team. I don't think that team can get to double digits. And if you're Cincy, can you squint and say, all right, maybe we can lose, maybe we can beat Buffalo, maybe we can't. But after that, can we run the table? Considering you do get Baltimore again, you get them in Cincy, then you get the Dolphins, then you get the Bengals, and then you get the Browns, a home game against the Browns the final week. If you can ever beat the Bills, this becomes very real. And even if you can't, that makes you run the table. I think it's still a stretch, but at 12-1, I don't think that's the worst bet them to win the division. Ideally, I would like a little more, but Lamar is just not the same player when he can't run, and he somehow did go over his rushing prop, even though clearly not himself, couldn't get away from the pass rush, just kind of limping around, inaccurate. If you make him a pure passer, that's not his strength. He's a playmaker. He needs the threat of the run, and that was not the case Thursday night. He was awful in the game, awful. And I know you get 10 days off, so maybe you hoped with 10 days off, a little extra rest, he can look like himself. But if this is the version of Lamar you're going to see, what was a very strange game on Thursday with the turnover, and then since he couldn't do anything with it, and then likely almost had the touchdown, that got knocked out. If it was just a strange game. If this is the version of Lamar you're going to get, you're almost better off just, sit a week. Maybe we can steal a game without you, and we'll see in a couple weeks and just try to get him healthy, because if he's just going to be limping around and hobbling around, you're not going anywhere. The defense has played okay. They're better than they were in the first half of the season, but Baltimore now, which was 1-5, they got off the mat, looked like they were going to cruise and run away with that division. Now they are a major question mark. I've talked about them at different points of the season. Good bet to win the division at maybe -125, and a good bet to maybe miss the playoffs at +375. Maybe that miss the playoffs comes back around and comes back into play. So that's the first one. I don't know that I'd bet Cincy at 12-1, but I could certainly understand it. And the defense is still the defense, and they are still 4-8, so I would like a little more than 12-1, but I would imagine that number comes down just because they do have the head-to-head against Baltimore now. And the schedule after Buffalo is not brutal. The other two games, I thought Campbell did a horrible job in the early game against Green Bay. They're down 10 points, and he did the same thing 2 years ago against Green Bay in a very similar scenario, same opponent, same building, where they were down two scores, and he took forever to get the first score. He was huddling. You know, they're using all the play clock. It's like, do you not know you're down two scores? Do you not know there's only four quarters? Hurry up. Go to the line. All right, you want to run the ball because that's how you get your big plays. I get mixing in some runs there, but you can't run and huddle and run again and use all the play clock. They eventually score. They settle for the field goal with 3 minutes left, and they never give it back. If you're able to score with 5-6 minutes left, you probably get the ball back there, and that was a ballsy call by LaFleur to throw it on third down, throw it again on fourth down, convert it. The guy wasn't even open. It was just kind of a jump ball, and it was converted. But I thought Campbell did a horrible job. He does too many of these head-scratching things with you. He's a good coach. You know, he commands the team. He gets them to play hard. He's aggressive in terms of going for it. But there's too many of those things where you're like, dude, what are you doing? How are you taking this much time? And he did a horrible job mismanaging the clock. And the Lions now, no lock to make the playoffs. They lose, and they now look at a schedule. And this is a very big game a week from now, Thursday, December 4th. They are home against the Cowboys. Cowboys now back in the mix after a great win against the Chiefs. Home against the Vikings. Home against the Chargers. I'm sorry, this is the Cowboys schedule. So Cowboys are at Lions. We'll go with Cowboys first. Cowboys are at Lions. Then they get the Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, and they finish with a road game against the Giants. Is it possible that that Dallas runs the table and gets back in the mix? Similar to Cincy, where it's like if you get past the Detroit game, similar to Cincy, if they get past the Buffalo game, you might have a shot. But the Detroit schedule is they are now on the brink here of maybe not making the playoffs after being the one seed and people thinking, you know, they're a championship team. NFC title game a couple years ago where they had a 17-point lead, one seed last year. You might miss the playoffs altogether. And they are home versus the Cowboys December 4th at the Rams, obviously a very tough game. And it gets a little bit easier, much easier. Home versus the Steelers, at the Vikings, and at the Bears to finish the season. So if you lose one more, let's just say you go 4-1 the rest of the way, you're probably in good shape to get in. But can you go 4-1? Be interesting. I don't think there's a bet there with the Kansas City or Detroit. I think those are both lined properly. Talked about the Chiefs a couple weeks ago when they were plus 175, and everyone just kind of assumed, oh, you know what, they're going to be favored the rest of the way. They're going to win out all these games. It's not that easy in the NFL to just say, oh, we got five games left. We're favored in all of them. We're going to win all of them. All these games are close. Upsets happen. When you start flipping coins, sometimes that coin is going to end up on the wrong side for you. So awesome day of football. Thought Campbell did a horrible job. Dallas, the defense is much improved. They got stops when they needed to. They moved the ball. The duo of Pickens and Lamb with Prescott feeding them. I don't know if they'll get in the playoffs, but they are now plus 235 to make it. That is one of the seven best teams in the NFC. So I know they renovated that defense maybe a little bit too late, maybe a couple weeks too late, but this was a team that was dead and buried a few weeks ago. They beat the Raiders on Monday night a few weeks ago. No big deal, but then upset the Eagles, upset the Chiefs, and now they are right in the mix. And if they got it, they would be a very dangerous team. But fascinating AFC playoff picture with the Chiefs in trouble, the Ravens in trouble, the teams at the top like the Patriots, the Broncos, the Colts, just not that good. So, boy, you could pretty much tell me anybody comes out of the AFC and I would believe it. It is that wide open. So, fun day of football, and it should be a fun weekend of college football. The NFL card on Sunday will take a hit. I mean, we're paying the price on Sunday for all the great games on Thursday because the games on Sunday are just not that good. By the way, Ravens and Bengals finishing up as I'm recording this. If I have to see that AT&T commercial one more time, oh my goodness, I must have seen that AT&T commercial. They play every single break, the one where it takes the selfie with the dad. Enough of that stupid commercial. My goodness, nonstop with that one. I would love to know how many times I've seen it today. It had to have been 15, 20. I don't know. It just felt like every break or every other break at least that commercial was on. It just feels like it's always like this on Thanksgiving where you just see the same commercials over and over. As you get closer to the holidays, and they shove these same ads down your throat. It's way too much. Picks, though. Let's get to the picks. The Sunday games in the NFL are not great. I'll start with NFL and go college. I like the Jets getting the 2.5. That's probably my favorite one of the week. I keep going back to this stat. They have not recorded an interception. They have recovered 18% of opponent fumbles. They are due for some turnovers. I do not trust Cousins outdoors. I do not trust Cousins on the road. It's Dr. Seuss. I don't trust him here. I don't trust him there. I don't trust him anywhere. Cousins I've seen this too many times with him. I don't trust him at all in this kind of spot, especially laying points on the road. I know it's a pretty talented Falcons team around him. They've got some players, but Jets have played hard. They've played well. They've they've been in these games. They were feisty against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. They led in the second half against the Ravens last week, and they outgained them yards per play. Some of the stats, that was kind of a misleading final. I will take the Jets plus the 2.5 points on Sunday. And I like the Rams. There's some 10 outs there, some 10s out there. You know, laying double digits on the road in the NFL is not a good habit to get into. The Panthers, watched pretty much every play of that game Monday night. I was doing the show with Tim Murray. Watched every play of that Monday night primetime game. Young was just completely overmatched. He was horrible. They're not good on defense. The Rams are a machine right now. I worry I'm buying high. I worry about laying that many points. There's so many ways for that to go wrong when you're laying that kind of points in the NFL. But to me, this has got 34-13, 34-10 written all over it. I will lay the Rams minus the 10. Also kind of like the Titans plus the 6 against the Jags. So I'll call it Titans. There's some 6.5s out there. I don't think you're going to get a 7. They've played better. Ward has played better. They've covered a few of these games recently, 3 in a row. I don't trust. Speaking of guys I don't trust, I mentioned Cousins. Lawrence is another guy. He could throw a stinker at any point. I think this is more of a field goal game. So Titans plus the 6.5 is a begrudging play after how hard it has been to bet on them the last couple years. But Ward has shown some improvement there. As far as the college, talk about that with Brad Powers coming up. I think my favorite play of all of these is actually a team total. Georgia team total over 37.5. Georgia Tech, who they're playing. Profile as good as an underdog. Georgia Tech is horrible, horrendous defensively. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. Boston College, NC State, these teams are lighting them up for 500-600 yards a game. They were awful last week against Pitt. I think Georgia can name their score. I know that's a high team total to get to, but I think Georgia cruises into the 40s there. I think they can basically score every time they touch the ball. The big one, Michigan, Ohio State. I lean first half under. I think Ohio State will try to be physical. The receivers are banged up. It's just very hard to have an opinion on this game other than under without knowing what the receivers are. If the receivers are healthy, that's one game. If the receivers aren't healthy, that's a totally different game, and that could be a 16-9 type of game. I lean towards Michigan with the points. I lean towards the under. I really like the first half under 21.5, though. I just think big game, feeling out process. Maybe the receivers aren't healthy for Ohio State. Maybe a little weather. I like that first half under Ohio State, Michigan, 21.5. And I've talked about it. Brad Powers, who we'll have on, I get the sense he's leaning the same way. I think Mississippi State's very live in this game against Ole Miss. Can't trust Kiffin. Who knows how distracted they've been. Mississippi State's been pretty good at home. I think Mississippi State plus 7 is worth a play. I think you get some 7.5 minus 115, actually. So that's obviously the much better number. You want to have the hook and see if Mississippi State can pull off the upset and make it very intriguing in terms of Ole Miss make or miss the playoffs. And just from a fan standpoint, we haven't gotten a lot of upsets, a lot of chaos, with a lot of road teams favored, laying points on the road here. I wonder if this is the week where you get like Oregon to lose. And I actually lead towards Washington getting the points in that game too, even though they have had some troubling performances, to say the least. Washington has. They got a talented team, a talented offense. That's a tough place to play. Oregon on the road laying points. Ole Miss on the road laying points. Bama on the road laying points. Got a feeling some of these teams get picked off here. And we'll be fascinated to see if we get some upsets leading into championship week and then eventually the selection a week or so from now. So, fun day of football. Boy, it's been fun. How about these first half unders in college basketball, too? Hopefully people have listened to that and tailed along. There was a stretch. I think the first 6 hit on Monday. A bunch of them hit on Tuesday. The first 4 hit on Wednesday. These first half unders, it's drying up. Friday's pretty much the last day of it. And it's basically been wall-to-wall college basketball from Monday morning around the clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, just all day, every day with this college basketball. It's just nonstop. But the first half unders, especially in these neutral site games, have done really, really well, if you're playing that angle. So, boy, great sports week. It really is. With all the college football, NFL, college hoops, it's just every time you look, there's a game on, there's fun games on, and hopefully we get a little chaos. I'm rooting for a little chaos this weekend, with maybe some upsets and some really good rivalry games. So We will see what Brad Powers has to say about these games. He is coming up next. Remember, rate, review, subscribe. Let's talk to Brad. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast. We have a great slate of games in college football, and we have a great guest to discuss them. You can catch him Hit the Books podcast covers, where he does a fantastic job. It's our buddy Brad Powers. Brad, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody out there listening and watching. Hope you guys cash some bets and have some great family time and some great food. But looking forward to the best week of the year, if you're talking college football regular season.
Yeah, I've been saying this, and you do this year-round, but man, 1 minute we're watching Arch Manning struggle against Ohio State Labor Day weekend. You blink, you take a nap, you wake up, and the season's all but over. It goes by so damn quick. It's amazing.
It does. You know, at some points I would, you know, it depends on how you're running. At some points you want it to get over with. Other points, hey, if you're running well, you're like, man, I hope this never ends. But, you know, I do love bowls. If there's anything – if you're talking about a nice shining light at the end of the tunnel, bowl games are usually, I mean, if you can stay on top of the opt-outs, usually can be the most profitable time of the year.
Yep, no doubt. And let's get to some of these games, and we'll get to some of the scenarios, some of these quote-unquote bubble teams here in a minute, too. We'll just start with the game, the big one, Michigan-Ohio State. I like the first half, and we're looking at 10, Ohio State favored by 10, total 43.5. I like the first half under 21.5. I just think if you're Ohio State, I'm sure Ryan Day has told them all week, hey, we got bullied last year, shows them the film, let's be physical, let's run the ball. I don't really trust Michigan to run the ball. I could see a feeling out process here. So I like under 21.5 first half. I lean towards taking the points. I lean towards under for the full game. I don't want any part of Michigan throwing the ball if they're behind, so I'm staying away from the other stuff. But what's your take on this game?
Yeah, I did bet some Michigan. You know, anything 10 or above, I think it's worthwhile. Obviously, shop around. I think you're going to be able to get some 10.5. So, you know, make sure you always, as always, get the best of the number. Not that it's a great bet. It's just what I prefer. I mean, Ohio State hasn't really played anybody this year. So, I'm just – there is that question in my mind, especially, you know, considering their opponent and the recent past history. They get punched in the mouth early. How are they going to respond? How will they react being maybe in a tight game early? Boy, matchup-wise, though, Underwood's got to play clean or Michigan has no chance. I'm going to disagree. I think Ohio State needs to throw the ball. I mean, it's going to be weather-dependent. If they play in a phone booth, that's going to play right up in Michigan's alley. That's what Ohio State did last year, inexcusably. If Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate are healthy, big if, I'm throwing it out to them. And I don't have the running backs like I did the last go. I mean, I don't have Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson to rely on, so I don't want to run the ball. But if it might weather dependent and health dependent on my wide receivers, maybe they're gonna have to. But I don't oppose the under. I will say, prior to last year, this was an over series. The over had cashed 10 in a row, which is crazy, because I mean, I grew up on this rivalry being very low scoring. But I could only play under, though, with the way these two teams are built this year.
How about the Egg Bowl? Not on Thanksgiving night this year. It's going to be the day after Thanksgiving. At least it's Friday noon Eastern here. Down to 7. I know this opened 10.5 in some spots, which I thought was obviously too many and easy to say now. But who do you like in this game? And is this a situation for Ole Miss? Winning, you're in. Losing, you're out. I would lean towards taking the points. I never trust Lane Kiffin in these spots. You know, show me you can win a big game before I believe it. So I lean towards taking the points. It's not getting the best of the number. But what are your thoughts on this game and Ole Miss big picture overall playoff aspirations?
I did take the points. I think it's a high variance game. I think I would not be surprised if Mississippi State won the game outright, maybe even easily, if Ole Miss isn't, you know, dialed in, which has been the case with Lane throughout his entire career. I'm going to age myself, but there was a bowl game when he was the USC coach. They didn't even show up. It was the Sun Bowl, and then their big favorite against Georgia Tech got crushed. So he's had this it's at least part of his repertoire, including last year, losing games that he had. The Florida game last year was a win-and-in situation for him. They lost outright as a double-digit favorite. Mississippi State's been good at home. Outright upset over Arizona State. Took Texas to overtime. Took Tennessee to overtime. So I don't think we're asking too much of them to keep it close here. But I do like the Bulldogs. One of my probably favorite plays of the week. I do think Ole Miss is out if they lose.
If Ole Miss loses,
it's gone.
Okay. What would you – I'll phrase it this way. I'm going to tell you right now, Mississippi State wins the game. You're the odds maker. What is the yes-no price on Ole Miss to make the playoffs?
Good question. Some of it's dependent on what else is happening, but let's just say chalk plays out. I think they put in Miami over them, so I would put the no at like -250. I mean, I the biggest future bet I have riding right now heading into this week is I bet the no on Ole Miss because I thought it was 3,500 last week, the yes to make the playoffs, and I thought it was a ridiculous price. So I tweeted it, so it's not just me, you know, saying I did something after the fact. I just think if they lose, they're out. And the committee's kind of showed their hand a little bit. They dropped them already in this week's poll. And, again, if Lane's not there, this is kind of a Florida State situation from a couple years ago. They're not going to value them as the same team.
Yeah, I mentioned that tweet on this podcast a couple weeks ago, and it's funny because that was, I think, 11-1 to miss. I think you said you got 13-1 to miss. There were some varying numbers, but they're down to +360 to miss. They haven't played a game, and there were no upsets, so that kind of shows that that was the wrong number, that we've seen that much movement without much happening. Texas A&M laying 2.5 against Texas, total 52.5. I passed the game. I could kind of see anything happen in this game. Wouldn't be surprised if Texas won. Wouldn't be surprised if A&M won. No feel for the total. Do you have a better sense of this one?
I bet Texas. I think A&M is a little overrated. But you know, number dependent. You can understand what kind of number I got. I'm not running to bet 2.5 now. Let's see what it does on game day. Obviously, being a nightcap, it'd be interesting. I'm guessing the people are going to want to support A&M, this short favorite, being undefeated over at old Texas, who almost lost to Kentucky and all that. So I thought a sharp group just took the over. I agreed with that move. I'm surprised they went when they did. I thought we were going to get another half point or so of value, but I thought that was a pretty sharp move. That just happened about 35, 40 minutes ago.
How does Georgia Tech get any stops against Georgia? Georgia laying now 14, total 59.5. I kind of like Georgia team total over 37.5. I know 37.5 is a hell of a lot of points, but I just, from what I've seen of this Georgia Tech defense, I don't see them getting stops. I know they profile well as a dog, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on this game?
They do profile well as a dog, but I just don't think they're any good. And I mean, this is by far the best team they've played. And I can make case the best team they played prior to this game was last week. And look what happened to them on their home field with everything to play for. They got wiped out. I agree with the team total. I usually wait for that market to open up just a little bit on game day, but I think that's an awesome bet, probably my favorite bet on Friday. But I wasn't afraid to lay it with Georgia. What game has Georgia Tech impressed anybody? Go through, could have lost to Clemson, should have lost to Wake Forest. It was an officiating error in that one. The Duke game was misleading because of returned touchdowns. I mean, they almost lost to Boston College. You just go right down almost their entirety of their schedule, and it's not impressive. Georgia's finding themselves a little bit. Last week aside, he took the ball and went home there after they got up big. But I think they're a little bit more focused. They should be. They almost lost to Georgia Tech last year. So as long as they're reasonably motivated, they don't have to go for margin. I just think they're that much better than Georgia Tech that they'll just get margin.
Oregon is now up to a 7-point favorite over Washington. I'm surprised you're getting the full touchdown. I like Washington here. Who do you like in this game? And is Oregon out if they get upset here?
Yeah, that's a good question. The latter question, I there's a good chance of it. Again, it's going to be dependent on what happens behind them, but they don't have a lot of big wins outside of what just happened last week against SC. I made it 7. So I laid 6.5, but if you told me you wanted to take 7.5 with Washington, you might get it. I'm not going to be opposed to that. I'm worried about Jed Fish. I think he might be going to Florida, so is he totally dialed in?
Yeah, and always something to think about this time of the year with these coaches, especially this year with all of these different vacancies. Just go down the line here on these bubble teams. Miami, you know what you're getting when you lay 7 with Cristobal, especially a warm weather team on the road. That being said, I think it's a rough matchup for Pitt. I don't know if they can block Miami. I don't love the idea of laying it, but that's the only way I would look. Do you think Miami wins, covers, and if they do win, what does the committee do with them?
I laid it. Another one I made 7 late. Wasn't afraid to lay 6.5. If you told me you wanted a Pitt again at 7.5, I would understand it. I do think Miami should be motivated and probably going to compare themselves to the Notre Dame result at Pitt just a couple weeks ago. So if they have an opportunity to go for margin, they will. They just did it last week. They scored a touchdown with 20 seconds left on fourth down, threw it into the end zone against Virginia Tech. So you at least get that with the favorite, which you don't always get. Something tells me if it does ultimately come down to Notre Dame or Miami, they'll end up taking Miami after everything that they've said and done.
Really?
Yeah, I think if it comes down to those are the last two. If it's not up to those two, if it's like Miami versus somebody else, then different argument. But decent chance of getting in. But I still think that they're less than 50%. They're going to need help.
Last couple here. Just from a – forget betting for a second. From a college football fan standpoint, we haven't had one of these weeks where you just get complete chaos. College football has a habit of producing that. Do you just get the sense here this is going to be chalk and maybe easy-ish for the committee? Or do you think we get one of these weeks, one of these weekends, where you get a few upsets and all hell breaks loose here?
Yeah, good question. Again, you hit it out of the park here. We had pretty chalk week last week. That usually lends me to believe that we're due for some, I mean, the old due factor, but we got a lot of road chalk in rivalry games. I mean, let's see how that works out. Doesn't sound too appetizing for me saying that there's not going to be any upsets when they're all a bunch of home underdogs. So, I think we're going to at least get a couple.
What do you think here with the Heisman? How do you – I mean, obviously, if Indiana wins out, it's probably going to go to Mendoza here, we would think. Not probably. I think that it's pretty certain. If he loses, they lose. It opens the door. Do you think there's a bet to be made at the current prices?
At the current, maybe Julian Tsang. Because if he has two big games, I think he'll win it. And he can. I mean, they're going to be favored this week. And if he gets his wide receivers back, and they'll be favored against Indiana. So that'd be the one I make. There's three scenarios. You laid out one. Mendoza. Yeah, I mean, if they beat Ohio, he didn't even have to play that well. If they just beat Ohio State as a team, he's going to win the award. Julian Tsang has to play well. Now, Ohio State just can't win. I mean, he needs to put on a show in both of these games against Michigan and Indiana, and then I think he can win it. Or the third factor, and I think it's legitimate, say Ohio State beats Indiana and Mendoza doesn't play that well. Julian Tsang is just okay. Puts up good numbers, enough to win, but nothing astronomical. If Jeremiah Love goes out there, puts on a show like he's been doing the last couple weeks, I think he's very live. And remarkable, he went from 40-1 to 4-1 in 1 week.
Yeah, it shows, and we've had plenty of examples of this. These markets, they move quickly, they move late. They're not always super efficient, which is good from a betting standpoint because you can pick off some good numbers. What do you have any thoughts quickly? I forgot to ask Bama Auburn. Do you have any thoughts on that game?
If there's going to be an upset, I think it might be Auburn, most likely over Alabama, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
I'm hearing whispers about Kalen DeBoer. So I don't like hearing whispers on a guy that should be well set in his job. I don't think he is well set. And this has been a horror show for Alabama in wins and losses. I mean, you can make a case that they should have lost their last five or six trips to Auburn. I mean, their last two that they won, Tank Bigsby just falls down on the ground instead of running out of bounds. They lose that game. Oh. And then obviously you had the 4th-and-31 Jalen Milroe pass. And then, I mean, go back where the games that they have lost, the kick six and whatnot. So there's been great Alabama, even better Alabama teams that went to Jordan-Hare and lost. So I think I'm fully expecting Auburn to play their best game, and that might be good enough because I think Alabama is a little overrated. Obviously, Oklahoma exposed them a little bit.
I forget who I had for Heisman that year. Was that 4 years ago? But that Bigsby not falling down or not going – inbounds, not staying inbounds, cost me a Heisman on somebody. Whoever finished second, I think I had that year. I have to go back and look. Any other games we didn't get to that you like?
Georgia's one of my best bets. I can tell you that. I would just say first time this year, we haven't had a lot of weather situations. Looks like there can be a lot of wind. Some really cold temperatures in the 20s and stuff. I mean, kind of a shock to the system for anybody playing. So for the first time this year, I mean, make sure you're watching the weather reports. As far as wind and cold.
Brad, you're the best man. Appreciate you coming on. I know you had a busy day, so I appreciate you making the time. Hit the books, covers. Where else can we find you?
That's it. Or you can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever you kids are calling it these days. Brad Power 7 is the handle.
Brad, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Brad Powers. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Appreciate you guys listening. See you Monday.